California state legislators say it's their way or the highway when it comes to protecting school children from air pollution. Concerns over childhood asthma and lung cancer have led to the passage of a bill that would block the building of new schools near major freeways and busy roads. Tiny particles from passing diesel vehicles pose some of the biggest dangers to health. Now an emerging study may show that air pollution is not only linked to respiratory problems, but also to brain cancer. Dr. Keith Black is heading up this study and directs neurosurgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. He joins me now from his Los Angeles office. Dr. Black, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell me, doctor, what's the best evidence to date that there may be a link between specific types of air pollution and brain cancer?
Well, we know from animal studies that we've done that when animals are exposed to toxins that we find in air pollution, they're able to develop brain tumors. These toxins can include things that are released by diesel engines, such as ultrafine particles, that we know can readily cross the blood-brain barrier and get right into the brain. And we also know that particular occupational exposure to high concentrations of diesel exhaust may result in a higher incidence of brain tumor development. Firemen, for example, that live in fire stations where the diesel engines for the fire engines are turned on and this diesel exhaust is able to escape into the fire station, exposing firemen to very high concentrations of diesel exhaust, result in a higher development of brain tumors in firemen.
Talk to us a bit about the blood-brain barrier. What's its purpose and how effective is it ordinarily?
Well, brain capillaries or small blood vessels are different than any other capillaries in the body in that they essentially form a wall or a barrier that prevents most compounds from the blood from getting out of the blood into the brain. In fact, the main energy source for the brain, glucose, cannot get out of the capillaries into the brain without being taken across by a special transport carrier in these brain capillaries. So most things that cannot be dissolved in lipids, or most water-soluble molecules, will not cross this blood-brain barrier. And that's perfect as long as everything is normal and as long as the brain is healthy. But under abnormal circumstances, sometimes bad toxins can get into the brain that we don't want to get into the brain. And it's a very difficult barrier for us to deliver drugs and therapeutic molecules across to treat diseases that may affect the human nervous system.
Now, tell me why you're focusing on particulates. I can understand that the chemicals, compounds, can perhaps breach this blood-brain barrier, but why the special interest in particulates?
Well, we know that particularly along freeways, there's a very high concentration of ultrafine particles. They're released by diesel engines. And when we inhale these ultrafine particles, they rapidly cross into our blood and cross from blood into the brain.
Now, how small are these ultrafine particles?
They're extremely small. They're in the range of what we would consider to be nanoparticles. They're so small, in fact, that they can rapidly cross almost any biological barrier or any other barriers. You're rolling up your windows or your filtration system in your air conditioning unit will not filter out these particles.
So what exactly is the mechanism of action here? How may air particulates, these ultra-fine particulates, cause tumors?
What we're speculating at this point is that they're able to disrupt the molecular and genetic machinery in the cells, increasing the expression of bad genes or cancer genes within these cells.
Why start this study now? Why are you so suspicious of ultrafine particulates?
The unique opportunity that we have now is that we have a very well-developed index of brain tumors in our population, particularly in Southern California. And because of all of the studies that have been done in Southern California, we have very detailed analysis of our air pollution patterns. So we can actually go address by address, zip code by zip code, and we can actually track the exposure into very detailed levels with how much time someone has spent on the highway, how much time a child has spent riding the school bus, and so forth.
To what extent do you think your study could revolutionize the perception of how dangerous particulates might be?
I think that it's easy to make the association between asthma and particulates, between lung cancer and particulates, because we're breathing those in the lung. What we don't understand readily is that these particulates are crossing from the lung into our blood system, and they're affecting other organs in the body. We're focused on the development of brain tumors, but getting particulates into the brain may actually extend beyond brain cancer. We don't know what the contribution of that may be to development of Alzheimer's disease, of other neurological disorders, including autism and other disabilities.
Dr. Keith Black is the director of neurosurgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. Thanks for taking this time with me today.
All right. Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.